Salon Hustle. I am your host, Andy Wilson. I own and operate professional lawn maintenance in Newcastle, Indiana. We're doing a series of podcasts now, probably through at least the end of December, on Meet the Pros. And tonight we have Daniel White. He is the host of the Lawn Care Unscripted podcast. I encourage you to go to Apple Podcast or Spotify or whatever platform you listen to your podcast and search for Lawn Care Unscripted, subscribe, hit your notification button so you don't miss an episode of his podcast. Daniel, thank you for joining the Lawn Hustle. I appreciate you being here.
Hey, thanks for having me, Andy.
You and I both were at Equip Expo recently and saw a lot of new equipment, a lot of new things coming out on the market. What was your biggest takeaway from Equip Expo, and what did you gain from attending the Equip Expo?
So there's two parts of this that I see. I see the products that are on the floor itself, and then the personal side of it, the community side of this. On the floor, there's, of course, all these manufacturers, they're really good at innovating and coming up with all this new equipment to, you know, let's make it just a little bit better. And those little pieces, they add up to a lot. I still see a lot of battery-powered equipment, lots of handheld stuff. I've run several different brands of battery equipment before. Right now I've got Husqvarna's commercial string trimmer and their little handheld blower. But I've also used Milwaukee and some of the other stuff, and I think they're on the right track. I would like to see much longer runtime, and I think that they will get there. I think it's just one of those things that's going to take them a while to develop as new technology comes out. And then on the personal side of it, I went to Equip this year kind of at a different, little different mindset than I've come in the past. I wasn't necessarily worried about seeing any equipment or anything along those lines. There were a few things that I wanted to check out, and a couple of different companies that I wanted to check into. But overall, you know, it was fun to walk around and whatnot, but the main focus I wanted was to continue to grow those relationships in the industry. I mean, this community is so big yet small feeling. I heard someone talking today on a podcast, and this is not a lawn care podcast. This was a political podcast. And the person that was talking about, they were discussing the migrants that come in and the jobs that they do. One of the things they were talking about was landscaping. And I thought, oh, well, that's interesting. So let's hear what you got to say about that. And they were almost putting it off as, well, that's not a real job. That's not something that you would actually want to do for a job. And I had to stop and I had to think, and I thought, well, it's interesting to see the people that don't understand the field or the business itself, but us that are in this community, we're hardened to, you know, hanging on, you know, everything. It's this group that kind of sticks together as a big mass.
Right.
So you want to continue to grow that and grow those relationships in there, and that's what this Equip really gave me.
Yes, sir. That was my number one objective this year at Equip, was to meet people, network with people, build relationships, and you're a part of a group, the LCB, Lawn Care Brothers Unite group, and I kind of become affiliated with the group late in the year, but I got to meet everyone in that group, and it certainly was nice to meet them, interact with them, and even interview them, some of them on a podcast at the show. So that was my goal as well. And I think you're exactly right. Our industry, people think, oh, you mow yards. What's the matter? You couldn't find a job someplace else. But that is a myth that I would like to debunk on this show right now. This industry, the industry that you and I are a part of, has some of the greatest minds and some of the brightest people in this industry. And I don't mow yards because I couldn't find a job someplace else. I could get a job just about anywhere I wanted to go and get a job. But I chose this industry. And events like Equip Expo, events like some of the other gatherings that are offered to people in the industry, it only solidifies my feeling about this industry. It's a great industry. So let me ask you, can you tell us a little bit about your journey and what led you to where you are today?
Sure. So, you know, I started off, I mean, I'll kind of give you an overview. There's all kinds of stuff that kind of weave bob to and fro through here. You know, I started off as a, you know, one of my chores at the house growing up was to mow the lawn. And, you know, I still have the carcass of that mower to this day because I want to rebuild it. It was it's a 1970 something snapper high vac that had a 3-horsepower Briggs and Stratton on it that was the biggest pain in the rear end to crank. And but what that did at, you know, I was probably, I might have been 12, you know, when I got to do it by myself. But what that taught me was a lot of, A, responsibility, but B, work ethic. And, you know, as typically happens in these very small subdivisions and whatnot, you know, you see a kid out there, hey, will you come cut my grass? And, okay, well, you're going to give me $10 to cut your grass too? All right, well, you know, hey, I'm 12, 13 years old, $10 is a whole lot of money to me.
Yeah.
So, you know, it was great during the summer, and it gave me some extra spending money. You know, fast forward, I go through life, got married, and my wife ended up losing her job right after we got married. So, you know, as a person who, you know, I'm a fixer, so I want to fix the situation. Let's figure this out. I thought, well, you know what? Hey, you know, we're in this part of town. My aunt lives over here. I'll go see if I can find some yards to cut. I'll go buy me a couple $100 mower at Home Depot. I bought at the time it was $250 Toro, whatever the model was at the time. And basically, I started with her lawn just like I did when I was a kid. I cut her lawn. I did, you know, the best job that I could at the time. And, you know, it looked really good. So from there, it spawned off, you know, hey, now I've got, you know, enough money coming in to where I'm not worried now. You know, my wife ended up getting a job, so at the end of that season, I didn't go back to continue cutting. I went into manufacturing. I've worked at hospital. I've done all kinds of interesting things. And when my wife and I decided to move up to Northeast Georgia, where we live now, our town, I think we have about 20,000 people in our county. So it's not a big town. In the 60s and 70s, it was booming, tons of manufacturing, but there's really only one or two companies left. So when we moved up here, I got a job at one of the manufacturing facilities that actually what they do is they build partitions for restrooms. Like if you go to a stadium or at a church or anything and you go in there, they have all the stalls and everything. That's what we manufactured. And it was a fine job, but it was so boring. I have to be constantly doing something or, you know, my mind just gets bored. That's the way my brain works. And I found myself just, you know, here's all the tasks for today. Great. You know, I've got all this knocked out by noon. What are we going to do now?
Yeah.
Well, now we just sit around until the trucks come at 6 o'clock. I'm like, you got to be kidding me. So I thought, well, you know, I had just bought it was an Exmark Radius. So it's the prosumer model of Exmark's mowers. I think it was $5,000. And the reason I bought it was we have three houses in a row on our property. So I've got my grandmother's house, my parents live behind me, and then my house. Well, they were paying a landscape company to come and cut it, you know, every 2 weeks. So I thought, well, I've got this mower now. I'll take that job, you know, earn a little bit extra money. And I ended up getting another job just by word of mouth.
Right.
Someone had driven by and seen the work. And I thought, oh, okay, so this would work up here too. It's not the same. It's way different income brackets. This is a very very poor city. We do have a lot of second homes up here, but it's kind of in a different spot. My first thought was I can't make a business up here because who's going to pay for that? You know, these are all people who have always been do-it-yourself people. They're not going to want it. Well, what I failed to recognize and do my research on was the average age of the person in our city. And it's on up there. I mean, we have a very, very large elderly population. And I came to realize, well, those people need someone to cut their grass because they're not going to get out there and do it. And I watched a video, and it was Florida Turf Pros down in Florida. He was talking about a flyer that he put out. And I can't remember the name of the video, but I remember it vividly. He had a picture of his family on one side, and on the back side was a small paragraph, just introduction to himself and his business and what he offered, and a phone number. So I thought, okay, I'll try that. So I printed off, I don't know, 500-600 copies of this thing. You know, I ordered some little ink pens with my name and number on it just so they would pick the thing up and look at it. And I put those out. You can't touch mailboxes around here, but you can place them next to the mailbox or in the front of the driveway. So I did that. And I did that and did that and did that. I think the first, I don't know, 2 or 3 weeks, I got one call. And I went and did, it was a mulch job at somebody's lake house. Thought, okay, well, you know, this isn't going to replace my income. But, you know, as far as maybe some extra spending money or just a little bit extra, I can do some of these things. Somebody will call. And I think it was that next week, we ended up having a bunch of rain. And that next day was super warm and all the grass just started going nuts. Well, all of a sudden my phone starts going off like crazy. And I thought, well, okay, what's going on? So there was only maybe two other landscapers up here when I started up here. So it's not like there's 100 other landscape maintenance companies up here. And I did what I thought everybody did. I put a Google My Business page up. You know, it was free. Yeah, of course I'll do that. Well, what that did was that third and fourth week, now that my name's on the internet, those people with all the lake houses look up Lawn Care, Lake Hartwell, Georgia, Toccoa, or Martin, or whatever, and suddenly my name's the only one there. So I started getting customer after customer after customer that way, and through I would say that the flyers got my foot in the door, as well as the Google My Business. But what really solidified the business and is what has allowed me to make it my full-time job is word of mouth advertising from your customers. Most of the customers, you're going to have exceptions no matter where you go, but you take care of that customer and they will put your name out there so much you will. I mean, I turn people away now. It's grown that much. So it's those little things that, you know, going, if I could go back now, there's 100 things I would change. But I kind of came in on that, as far as watching the videos and stuff, I came in right after Greg kind of was on his way out. So I didn't get to see his side of it, but more people were getting into it, and it allowed me to learn and evolve my company.
You and I have similar stories. I started off mowing my parents' home when I was about 10 years old, and I used a Lawn Boy mower.
Oh, yeah, the green one.
I liked it so much, I wanted one for myself. So I saved up enough money to buy my own, and I picked up a few yards at 10 years old and started mowing some properties during the spring before school started and all through the summer when we were out on school break. And I still, to this day, all these years later, I still mow one of those yards, and it's my mother. She's 92 years old. And I still mow her yard. And it's the same yard I mowed when I was a kid. So we have similar stories. I wish I still had that Lawn Boy mower, though. But I don't have it. But I think sometimes the best form of advertisement is word of mouth.
Yeah, absolutely. You know, it might not be... It's always important. It might not be the number one thing in a large city, but for anybody that's in, you know, the suburban areas or these small cities, you know, people talk to people. And, you know, if you're doing what you say you're going to do and, you know, you're giving it 100% and you take care of those customers, they're going to, they can't help but be happy about what they're getting, and they'll be happy to talk about you.
I think communication with a client or a potential client is probably the number one most important thing we can do, is learn how to communicate with our clients. And for us to, number two, be a person of our word. My dad used to tell me, you're only as good as your word. And if you can't do what you say you're going to do, don't ever say you're going to do it. Be a person of your word. And, you know, I think a lady called me last week, and I answered my phone. She said, I go to church with two ladies. You take care of their properties. And they tell me that you are really good at your job. She said, I want an estimate to do my leaves this fall. And I want an estimate to start mowing for me next year. So I gave her the price. And I told her $50 for a cut. It's not a big yard at all. But she said, okay, how many times will you mow it? I told her, it averages out because of weather and drought and different things, about 28 mows a year. She said, I'm going to run in and get a check. I want to pay you for next year. She said, because I want to make sure I get a spot on your schedule. She said, because if you're as good as what my friends tell me at church, I want you to do my property. So just word of mouth, you know, one customer led to another, and then those two led to a new client. And she's already saying, I cleaned up her leaves last week. And she said, I can't wait to tell everybody I know. My yard looks amazing. So, you know, that word of mouth. And then marketing, like you said, on Google. I think advertising your business on your truck, wearing shirts or hats that has your business name on it. I think all of those things are important. And you learn to market yourself. But if you're going to market yourself as a quality landscape company, then you need to make sure you're doing quality landscape work. So I think we need to match our work with our advertisement.
It's interesting. You were talking about communication with the customer. You know, communication with the customer is probably the biggest impact you can make, even more than the physical work that you do. But it is also the most difficult part of the business. And I'm looking at myself when I'm talking about this. These days, you know, I'll get anything from handwritten notes to text messages, emails, calls, stuff coming in from the web. There's so many different ways that people want to communicate now, and you have to learn how each one of these customers wants to communicate. And you know, that's one thing that I've really worked on probably the second half of this year. I was getting frustrated with a couple of my customers because I couldn't get them to respond to me. Well, that's because they don't answer their phone. They will not talk on the phone. But okay. Well, I finally sent a text message and you get a reply. And that kind of clicked in my mind. I said, okay, well, this person doesn't want to talk on the phone. Maybe they're embarrassed to tell me that, but you know, I got a response through text message. So I'm going to write a note in my CRM software, you know, hey, Mrs. Smith doesn't like to be contacted on the phone. If you need to get a hold of her, make sure you text her and then she'll respond. And then I've started doing that with all my customers. You know, some of them, they don't want to give me an email address, so they have to have their invoices texted to them. So there's notes in there. Hey, you know, this customer will not, and it started to make those things run a little bit smoother and a little bit smoother. And it's just refining that communication with the customer. How does that customer want to communicate?
Right.
And, you know, I can adapt myself to however they want to communicate. It's fine with me. But, you know, let's just make sure that whatever it is, you know, you're comfortable with, and I will, I'll go around to meet you wherever you're at.
All right. That is good. Well, what are some core principles or values that guide you in life and in business?
I would, you know, the values side of things, know, God first is above everything. You know, it to the way that my pyramid works with my life is God first, family underneath, work is underneath that. And that's how I live my life.
Yes, sir.
If there is a conflict of interest from either family or God with work, then that doesn't get done. And, you know, the top always comes down first. And it's constantly, in order to keep that frame of mind, I have to continually fill my head with the content that I need to make sure that I'm staying on that. And I listen to a bunch of different pastors, you know, church sermons. There's several different podcasts that I will listen to that, you know, are not lawn related, but, you know, maybe one of them, gosh, I can't remember the name of it, but one of them's talking about the way you interact with people in your business. Okay, well, you know, maybe I can glean something off of that. You know, how are people running their businesses now? Are there trends that I don't like as far as, does this conflict with what I believe? You know, you have to be incredibly careful, and it's super, super easy to, you know, it's that old adage, it's easier if someone's sitting in a chair and someone's on the ground, it's easier to pull that person off the chair onto the ground than lift the person from the ground onto the chair. And it's a hard lesson. It sounds super easy, and it's something that I have spent years trying to learn. And, you know, I want to surround myself with people and content that pushes me in the direction that I want to go. So there's, you know, as far as business is concerned, you know, always do the right thing. It doesn't matter what context that's in. I had a corporation send me a check for $1,200 that was an overpayment. And I don't know what was going on in their accounting department, but, you know, for whatever reason, they sent me $1,200. And I kept looking at them like, what? I don't see an invoice that's matching up with this. What's going on? Well, I just left it sitting on my desk for, I got checks sitting here from 2 weeks ago that haven't been put in yet. But I let it sit there for a couple of weeks, and then I sat back down to do all my accounting. And I saw it again, and I thought, well, this is weird. Let me look at it again, and it still didn't make sense. So I sent my contact at the accounting firm that pays all their bills and said, I don't know what this is for. And it took him about a week to figure out what it was, and it was an overpayment. So, you know, it would have been super easy just to, hey, $1,200? Yeah, they sent it to me, so it must be mine.
Yeah.
It's those little things. You know, it could be something as big as, you know, someone overpaying you by thousands, or it could be as little as, you know, hey, it'd be real easy for me not to walk over to the other side of the house and trim that side. But that's not the right thing to do. The right thing to do is to give the customer what they paid for. Focusing on that mindset, if I was the customer, what would I want? It's easy to say that. It's much more difficult to put it in practice. And if you can just start one little thing at a time, it'll snowball into this, you know, this bigger thing. And you know, I see the benefits of it, and that's the way I'm going to keep going.
I like your pyramid. God, family, work. Because that's my pyramid as well.
And it always hasn't been like that. Well, it's always been like that, but I have put work up at the top before. And
yeah,
when that happens, things don't go well.
You know, sometimes when you work more, you don't make more. Sometimes just working more, all you do is frustrate yourself and wear yourself out and miss family dinners, miss time with your children, time with your spouse. So that pyramid is something that not only we as Christians should live by, but I think it's a good rule of thumb for everybody to try to live by that. Have some order, have some structure in your life. And you know, the Bible said, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all of these other things will be added unto you. So it is always right to do right. So I appreciate that answer because I'm learning the more we talk, the more we have in common.
Sure, absolutely.
You know, we're business owners.
Here's a good example. Last year in the summertime, I mean, I worked until 9 o'clock at night. If it's light outside, I'm outside working. Well, you know, family started to suffer because I'm never home. I get up early in the morning, I go out, and then I'm working till, you know, 9:30 at night because it's still light. This year I said, I'm not going to do that because I saw what it did last year and I didn't like that result. So what can I do this year to make sure that that balance is right there? So, you know, I will not, I won't start a property after about 5:30 now. Well, of course, now it's dark at 5 o'clock, but that's a good way to get to go home early. But summertime, I didn't start anything after 5:30. That was my rule.
Yeah.
I knew if I could finish up by, you know, if I'm on a job, finish it up by about 6 at the latest. Do you hit it all the time? No. But that's that goal. Hey, I want to be at home. You know, I do all this so that it benefits my family and I can take care of my family. Well, if I'm never with the family, what benefit is that?
Yeah.
To either them or me?
Well, we work hard to provide for our family, but if we're never spending time with our families, you know, I done the same thing because I would work until 9:30 at night, come home exhausted, you know, sit down and try to eat a little bit of supper, take a shower, sit down in the recliner, and I'd be gone. So even when I was home, I wasn't spending time with my family. So what I started doing is I set an hour. My hours of operation this year are going to be from 8 o'clock to 5 o'clock. And at 5 o'clock, I'm going home. Whatever's not done, we'll catch up on it tomorrow. Because I don't only want to provide money for my family. I want to be able to provide experiences for my family. And I want to be there. My wife was taking our kids to birthday parties, to family functions. And every function they went to, where's Andy? He's working. So I was never there. I was an absent parent, an absent husband. That's hard to admit, but I was. I wasn't the husband I should be. I wasn't the father I should be, because I was so busy trying to provide for my family, I left my family out. So that changed for me as well, because that's what we're working hard for. That's what we're striving to accomplish, is making a living for our family. I don't want to get so busy making a living that I fail to live. You know what I mean?
Well, I mean, if you my dad was very similar to what you're talking about. You know, he worked nonstop when I was a kid, and you know, he finally had kind of the same type of a thing. He had that revelation. It was kind of like, oh, you know, I'm spending every waking minute working. I'm not doing anything else. So he realized that, changed it, and you know it changed his life around. But you know, talking about you know those hours of operation, in a service business, those stakes in the ground, you've got to make that red line. I have people texting and calling me at 11:30 and 12 o'clock in the morning. Well, you know, I'm not going to answer the phone call, and you know, I'll have customers text me at 9-10 o'clock at night, and I used to respond to it.
Yeah, me too. Okay,
well, let me jump up. How high you want me to jump?
Right.
I'll do that because I want your business. Well, I finally stopped. I do not answer the phone business-wise after 5 o'clock now.
That's good.
Not going to happen.
Yep.
And, you know, some people, I've had people get upset. I couldn't get a hold of you last night. Well, that's because we were closed. I'm not going to bring this out. And especially in an industry kind of like lawn maintenance, it, you know, each customer doesn't realize that they're not the only one.
Right.
And it's not necessarily their fault, but they don't realize that they don't look at it necessarily as a service business that has a schedule that it has to keep. It's kind of like, well, you know, so-and-so's just coming over to cut the grass. Well, I don't understand why he can't come right now. Or why can't you spend 3 extra hours doing this little task? Or, you know, something like that. It's and I think part of the problem is we've conditioned them to do that. I know especially at the beginning of my business, you know, it didn't matter what time that phone rang. I was answering it, and if they wanted me to go cut the grass at 1 o'clock in the morning, that's what I was going to do.
Yeah.
I mean, I've done all kinds of crazy. I mean, I drove to someone's second home down in Gainesville because, hey, this was a great customer up here, and I need to make sure I'm keeping them happy. So, I'll drive 45 minutes down to your other house.
Yeah.
And I don't know. It didn't work very well. So I started implementing those, hey, you know, I'm not going to, I know that you think you're my only customer, but you're really not.
Right.
And there's ways you can do that very nicely. You know, I try to remind my customers, I have some sweet old ladies that come out, and usually it's right in the middle of when I'm cutting. I like to talk to my customers. Usually, you know, I don't mind a 5-minute conversation before or after I'm cutting. They always like to come out in the middle. But, you know, at the end, it's kind of like, you know, I'll say, well, you know, I've got to go on to the next house to see Mrs. So-and-so. Hey, it's conditioning them to, hey, I can't sit here and talk for 3 hours. And there's someone else, but I don't feel like I've been insulted at the same time. And it's those little things. And as I've implemented some of those little things, I see my customers responding to that. And I had one today that normally came out, she'd talk for half an hour. Came out today, she goes, I know you got lots of work to do. Let me get you your check so you can get out of here.
Yeah.
Like, man, I wish I would have done this so much earlier.
Yeah. Well, let's take a break and listen to a word from my sponsor.
Are you tired of those spam calls about your online presence and website? I know you're nodding your head right now. Finding a company that knows the details about the lawn and landscape industry can be difficult. Well, I have a solution for you. Let me introduce you to Green Frog Web Design. We all know growing your business in our digital age requires an effective online presence, a website geared towards bringing in new customers. With fierce competition and a never-ending line of Chuck in the trucks ready to take your place, DIYing your online presence is not a serious option for growing businesses. Find a trustworthy and effective solution with Green Frog Web Design. Oh, and by the way, the first month for a new website is $1. Link is in the bio.
All right, we're back with Daniel White. Let me ask you this. Do you have any hobbies that you like to do to help you rejuvenate and keeps you motivated?
Absolutely. Well, there's it's kind of like one of those things that's kind of like, what's not my hobby? We have the fortunate ability to live on quite a bit of acreage. We've got right at 30 acres on our little land here. It was a property that my grandfather grew up on. So if I really want to, like, just get out and recharge, I'll take the skid steer back to the backfield and work on the land a little bit. I'm in the middle of building a shooting range right now.
Nice.
I worked on that a lot last winter. It's one of those things that, you know, if I just need to just kind of go turn my brain off for a while, I can go work on building the mounds or making, tearing out some of the terraces or something like that. And then, of course, you know, firearms are a favorite around here.
Yeah, you're in the South.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Comes with every application.
That's right.
But, we're out in the country, so, you know, we just walk out on our back porch and we can have a great time.
Yeah.
Those are probably my, you know, if I'm just going to kind of shut off, hobbies, I love doing research on different, I'll find something that I'm interested in. So I've got ADD pretty bad, and one of the symptoms of that is hyper-focus. So my brain works, it's like a tornado's going on around up there. It's one of those things, you know, I spent a lot of time this year working on that because I was having a hard time focusing on anything, business, personal, it didn't really matter what it was. And I'd been diagnosed as a kid and then just, hey, you know, you can deal with it. Okay. So, you know, as an adult now, I start to see, I'm like, this doesn't feel normal. So they've got me on a routine now that's working really well, but it has allowed my brain to slow way down to where I can actually sit and focus on learning new material. I'm retaining it better than I have in the past, and I find myself kind of craving that. I don't know if it's just the dopamine hit of grabbing more information about whatever it could be. I mean, I'll find some obscure topic, and I want to know everything about it. How do I become the best at underbutter basket weaving? I don't know. I mean, whatever just kind of hits my fancy for the day.
Yeah. Well, for me, after hard days of work, and especially if it's been stressful, there was nothing like coming home, jumping on the Harley, and going for some wind therapy. And I tell people I would let the wind blow through my hair. The only problem is I don't have any hair. So
that just makes you more aerodynamic.
But that, you know, a 10-minute ride on that bike just washed all the stress and the frustration away, and I come back in the house and feel rejuvenated, feel like I've been refreshed. And I think everyone needs something to do besides work to keep them motivated or to keep them feeling fresh and excited about going to their job, whatever their job is. So I really feel like the podcast has been full of insightful information that we have given our listeners tonight. I appreciate your responses, your answers. Let me ask you this. Is there a funny story or an unexpected moment that you've had on a customer's property?
Well, an unexpected moment. I have lots of those. I was talking about some of those old ladies and how they like to come out when I'm right in the middle of the cutting their grass. I had one last week that did that, and I was turning around on the side of the house, and I just caught a little bit of motion out of the corner of my eye, and I turned around to see what it was, and she was standing right behind my mower, and I thought I jumped off that mower about 10 foot up in the air. I mean, she scared me half to death, because when you're on, you know, you got the noise of the mower, you got headphones in, you've got something going on, I had a blower going at the time, you can't hear anything, so
right.
All your senses are taken up by all this other stuff going around. Let's see. I haven't had any like super funny moments. I've almost driven mowers into the lake a couple of times. My first year in business, I was running with my Exmark Radius, and at that time, so if you don't live around a lake, you don't typically know this, but most properties, at least at Lake Hartwell on our side, the house sits up and then you kind of walk down to the lake behind all these houses. I guess it's just the way they dug it out. But some people have grass and people have trees. Well, I was cutting the grass the wrong way. I was going up and down rather than side to side, and it was a pretty steep hill. And I felt the back of the mower start to slip, and I thought, oh no, this is not good, because the water's, you know, 3 feet from me. Well, I tried to wiggle myself out. Of course, that just makes it worse, and pretty soon you're in the water. I had the deck touching in the water. Well, at this point, it's continuing to scoot itself out, and I didn't know. I thought, well, you know, this is it. I've lost the mower. I'm gonna have to start over. I just happened to run back up to the truck and grabbed a ratchet strap, and there was a tree. It wasn't much of a tree, but I wrapped that thing around the tree and barely got it on the wheel of that radius, walked back there, undid the hydros, and used that ratchet strap and cranked it, you know, inch by inch, and dragged that mower back up onto the land. Of course, I had to wait till they were dropping water levels down to push it into another lake. So I had to wait till they dropped it down a little bit more to get it out. But it was a close call nonetheless.
I got a story. I mow a church that has two retention ponds out front by the road. And it had rained like 3 days before their scheduled day to mow. So I come to mow, and I start going around the pond, and I felt my mower starting to slip. And you can't stop those zero turns. Once they start sliding down a hill, you're gone. So it spun around, and I put the two front tires on this front mount grasshopper mower in the pond. Could not get out. Well, I had another mower on my trailer and a tow strap. I thought, well, I'll just hook onto it and pull myself out. No problem. Well, it wasn't a problem until it became a problem. Because when I tried to pull myself out, the second mower started sliding. and I couldn't stop it, and put the second mower in the water. Had to call a tow truck to come and pull my mowers out. Cost me $100 to get the mowers out of that water. But
did it go up to the engine?
No. It just right up above, almost to the deck level. But it didn't get to the engine or to the hydro pumps or anything like that. And one of them was a brand new mower. So at least you only put one in. I put two in.
Oh, that's just one of the many. I mean, there have been multiple stories of, I carry a large tow strap around with me now.
Oh, yeah.
For a reason.
All right.
I've had several of those experiences.
Yeah. Well, an unexpected story. I mow for a woman in Muncie. Every Friday, we mow in a city of Muncie, which is about 13 miles from Newcastle. But we mow about 23 over there on one day. So I'm mowing this property, and this lady is 96 years old. And I'm mowing, I'm blowing away from her house up by her hedges. So I start to back up, and out of nowhere she appeared and was trimming her hedges, and she's 96 years old. I stopped and shut my mower off, and I said, "I about ran over you. I didn't even see you." She said, "I just started." I said, "Well, you should have let me know." About,
I'm telling you, don't mess with those old ladies and their flowers.
No. I told her, I said, "Well, you know, I can trim your hedges for you. I do that too." She said, "Oh, no." She said, "I'm too picky. I'll do my own hedges until the day I die." So that was an unexpected experience on a customer's property for me. But I really appreciate the time that you shared with me tonight. I think it's been a good podcast. And yeah, really. And we'll get you back on for another one here in the near future. And tell everybody how they can follow you and contact you and stay in touch with you.
Unscripted is the name of my podcast, which is, in the fall season, it's very difficult to pump out all that content because I'm working from sun up to sundown, basically, with all these leads and stuff. But probably within the next couple of weeks here, you'll start to see more content coming out from me. I'll start having a considerable bit more time on it. So you can look up Lawn Care Unscripted. It's on, should be on all the major podcast fields. You can follow me on Instagram at either Simply Southern Lawns or Lawn Care Unscripted. And I think that's all the social stuff I've got for the podcast, but it's been fun. You know, this is it's just a different way of growing that community, and it's been a fun thing.
Yes. Well, I appreciate you, and I am thankful that Tony Rudolph introduced me to the LCB. He contacted me and wanted me to be a guest on his podcast, and then he just started including me, even though I really wasn't a part of the LCB. I kind of come in at the end.
We have a little text chain that I think you're part of now, but at the time, someone had sent, had posted in there, was like, "Hey, you got to check out this podcast. It's pretty good." And I was like, "Oh, great, a new podcast to listen to." So, you know, you got 8 hours a day, you just start consuming all as much as you can. And, you know, that's how I got into, you know, this side of it, whatever that is, you know, I felt like I really enjoyed the conversations that all these guys are having, and I just wanted to join in the conversation. So that's what I just started to do. And, you know, it's a great industry, and the people in this industry are really, really something.
Hey, man, I appreciate the camaraderie that we all have and the friendships that we're developing. And it was nice to spend some time with you at Equip. We had lunch one day in the media room and was able to talk. And I appreciate that. I appreciate you coming on my show. And I value friendship. It means the world to me. And one thing I am going to start trying to organize is a prayer group for people in the lawn care industry. It would be nice to have a group of men and women, you know, that if I'm struggling with something or I'm sick, I could shoot out a text to the group and say, hey, I need prayer today. I'm not feeling well. And know that these men of faith would go to God in prayer for me. And I think that's just something else we can add to the mix of our circle of friends and be prayer partners with each other. So I would like to invite you to be a part of that group.
Absolutely. Iron sharpens iron.
Amen. Well, you certainly have made an impact on me, and I appreciate that. And I thank you for coming on the show. And we will talk again real soon. Until we do, God is good all the time.